Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It felt like I was away for about a month, even though it was only 2 weeks. But it's been great to be back and to see some of you yesterday at the fair and the work day, to greet all of you again today. Thank you so much for the support and your prayers for my daughter and the baby when she was born. If you catch me, I've got a phone full of pictures, but... my wife had an opportunity to spend a day with our other daughter and granddaughter, so she's not joining us today, but we do appreciate so much the care and support of your prayers and the emails that you shared. It's wonderful to be back with you to worship a wonderful God who has given us a delightful day, and to spend this time together in the presence of God, to draw on God's strength, to experience God's Spirit in our life, to be blessed by the fellowship of the church and the truth of God's Word, to lift up our voices in praise and worship. It's such a privilege and a joy to do that with you today. So let's enter into this time of worship with the call to worship that is printed in the bulletin. I invite you to stand as you are able for this responsive call to worship. Notice there are parts for women and men. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry.
God lifted me out of a slimy pit.
I wrote a blood in my heart.
God set my feet on a rock.
And gave me a firm place to stand.
The Lord has put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God.
Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him.
Please turn in your hymnals to number 568, May the Mind of Christ My Savior.
Lord, we greet you this day with thankful hearts for the blessing of health and strength and the opportunity to be here to worship you with the people that we know and love, with the church family you have given us to share. We thank you for your presence, and by your Spirit we ask that you will bless us and open our hearts toward you. As flowers open to the sun in the morning, may we receive from you the blessing you have ordained for this day and this time. for we come as your children to a Father who has promised to meet our needs in Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
A lot of you here today, it's exciting to see a full sanctuary. I invite you to take a moment and greet those near you, or even on the other side of the aisle, and welcome them into the presence and worship of God. Bulletin is again full of announcements for your to read and participate in. There are opportunities to do a variety of things. One of the newer ones, where do I see it, is the Colony Nursing Home Ministry on the inside opposite the prayer list. Starting on November 24th, we're beginning again the monthly worship at Colony House. We were able to get back on their program, and we look forward to that. But if any of you who are available at that time would like to join, please tell you there who to contact, Clayton, and just we can take part in a really meaningful worship service. This is where Grace Simmons lives. She is eager to have us come back and provide worship again. There's also a blue insert. One side talks about the World Mission Offering. I know that while I was gone, Christy Engel was here speaking from the American Baptist International Ministries. We took up the World Mission Offering last month, and this is a good breakdown of where it goes. On the back, however, is another piece of information from a book called Ask, Thank, and Tell on financial stewardship, and these are six marks of a faithful giver, and so we include that as later this month we'll be taking your pledges and commitments for the following year. So please take time to look through these and make sure that opportunities for ministry and service and growth you can take advantage of. I want to invite Bob up to announce about the youth.
Thanks, Pastor. Tonight for youth group, we're meeting here half an hour early. We're meeting at 6 o'clock. And we're going to be playing pizza and eating volleyball. So if you can come out for that, then we'd love to have you. And we're eating pizza and we're playing volleyball. It should be a lot of fun. And Rick and Ellen and Jean are going to be making delicious pizza for us. And we're going to be eating it and playing volleyball. Some people might eat volleyball, too, if they get in front of me. So just don't. No, it'll be a lot of fun. That's a challenge, right? Now, we'd love to have as many of you as can make it to come on out with us. It's wonderful to have a gym. What a blessing we have as a church to have that. I'm so glad the folks that decided that we needed a gym many years ago put that in, because it's really blessed us in our ministry, in our town, in our community. So come on out for that. And then we have prayer meeting tomorrow night at 7:30. If you've never been before, it's a wonderful time to get together and really feel the heartbeat of the church in what we pray for God's people, for God's kingdom, and for this community and community surrounding us. And then on Tuesday night, we have basketball, so come on out for that. And lastly, I want to mention to you that we have the Christmas wreath fundraiser, and the proceeds from that go towards getting kids to Camp Berea for our deep freeze winter retreat. And the church has always been very supportive of that, and we appreciate you In past years, we appreciate what you'll do this year to help us. And you have beautiful Christmas wreaths that you can get through that. And it's to my right, to your left, as you go out. There's a table, and you can sign up for that. And thank you for all you do for us. And please continue to keep us in prayer. Our kids in our church, they're going through all kinds of things, as people go through anyway. But we really want to see our kids grow up in the Lord and move on and serve him and love him all their days. So pray to that end that God would make disciples among us. Now, before I sit, I'd like you, if you would, to turn in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3. It's page 1490 in the Pew Bible, if you are using that. Malachi chapter 3, and we'll be reading verses 6 through 12. Malachi is right before Matthew, so it's the very last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. And I'll be reading this out of a different version, out of the English Standard Version, but it's very similar to the New International Version. Malachi 3, 6 through 12. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. May God bless the reading of his word.
Please rise and turn in your hymnals to number 713, Seek Ye First.
If there are additional prayer concerns or joys you'd like to have come forward, just hold up the green slip you've written them on and they can come forward. In addition to what's in the bulletin prayer list, Marcia Whitmarsh called the church this morning to say Doug is at the hospital. And at South Shore, they think it's a gallbladder attack. He went in last night. And they're giving him an ultrasound and stress test in order to rule out heart issues. So we're prayer is that whatever's causing the pain is going to be the lesser of the two. There was one here in the pulpit for a woman, Lisa, who is in seeking the custody of a granddaughter in court. Dave, Lori, Lindsay, and DJ Collins are traveling to Florida Wednesday. Ask prayers for a safe trip. Marge Roberts is having a CAT scan tomorrow at Good Samaritan and looking for kidney problems. So I'm going to keep her in prayer. Marge is with us today. Jan Cuneo is asking, pray for answers tomorrow for a bile duct procedure. Your prayers have gotten her through so much. She knows she's in God's hands, and we help to keep her there through the prayers. Cindy asks, Cindy McNamara, please pray that I will have enough help during the shoebox collection week, which starts next Sunday, the 15th. If you can help, please sign up in the Welcome Center. Thank you from Cindy. There is a large announcement about that in the bulletin, so hopefully you can take part in the shoebox work. From Jean Porter, Nancy's doing well. Two sneakers and one crutch. She's being careful to walk around, and Jean thanks us for her prayers. In addition, there are some ongoing prayer concerns and some new ones in the prayer list. But we are grateful to have a God who knows our needs before we ask, but wants us to ask as a way of building our relationship and developing our trust with God. It can feel sometimes like we're praying for things that and nothing changes. And so part of what we need to pray for is the patience and endurance until God makes his will known. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, we are thankful to you, the one true living God, the sovereign God of all creation, the Lord of heaven and earth, the mighty God, the God who is compassionate and merciful upon your people. You look upon us like a father in heaven. You know our needs and you desire to build our trust in you, to trust you to meet the needs we have, whether it's needs for our financial obligations, the needs for shelter and clothing, the need for health and strength, the need for guidance, the need for peace, the need for freedom from fear and anxiety, the need for healthy relationships and reconciliation. Nothing in our life is hidden from you. You know our thoughts even before we form them and before they reach a word. That can be frightening if it were not for the knowledge that you love us and have shown a steadfast and enduring love through Jesus Christ, your Son whom you sent to become our Savior and Lord. We are grateful that our sin, great as it is, has been forgiven. Our guilt has been removed, and we stand before you in Christ as those who are reckoned righteous. That is not our doing. It is your gift of grace, and we praise you for it. And so we come to this throne of grace that has blessed us in so many ways before, to pray again with thanksgiving for the help you have been to us in these past days, for the blessing of new life, for the joy of healings that have taken place, of successful surgeries, that pain now is the pain of recovery, not the pain of injury or illness. And we're eager to pray, Lord, for these concerns today. We pray with thanks that Nancy's doing well and getting around with her sneakers and one crutch. And ask that you continue to bless her healing. We pray that Jan gets the answers tomorrow about this bile duct issue, that these tests would finally show what can be done to help her. We pray for Marge and this CAT scan on tomorrow, that if there are kidney problems, they be discovered, Lord, and treated so that she can be well. We pray for Doug at the hospital and pray that those who are caring for him will be wise and know exactly what to do to help him. And we pray for Lisa as she seeks custody of her granddaughter. Lord, we pray with Cindy for the Shoebox Ministry. Having heard not long ago from Eve how important it was to receive that shoebox in his life, to have a scarf that he kept until he was in need of it in America. These simple little shoeboxes with their contents can be so meaningful in the life of people that we may never meet. But you know them all and you love them, and we pray that this ministry will touch them with the love of Christ, and that those who are able to help here can do that to make our role in that effort successful. Lord, we thank you that you're the God who is present in all places, and just pray as we commit the Collinses to you for their trip to Florida, that you would watch over them. It's a long way to go, and we are grateful that you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways, lest we dash our foot against the stone. So put your angels around them, we pray, and sustain them. Lord, we're grateful for the blessings you bring to us as a church, for the opportunity to reach into the community with Trunk or Treat, with the fair yesterday. We pray, Lord God, that you'll continue to show us ways to reach our community, our neighbors, the people who are in need of Christ, not just by activities we can do at this place, but by finding where God is at work in our neighborhoods and joining the work of God there. For you have gifted us with gifts of ministry from your Holy Spirit. You have taught us from your word how to live as Christians, to be light and salt in this world. You call us, you empower us, you give us all we need to be effective ministers of Christ in the world. And we pray that you would open our eyes to see the needs around us, open our hearts to respond as Christ would, to really be the hands and feet of Christ in the world to meet the needs of suffering people. And we ask these blessings for the glory of your name and for the good of the church. Amen. We continue our worship with the giving of God's tithes and our offerings.
Please rise for the doxology, number 815 in the hymnal.
Praise God, come, all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures, Savior. Father, for these blessings, these gifts that will help to do your work throughout the world and to, for the missionaries who are doing this work for you. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnals to number 563, Open My Eyes That I May See.
Jesus' name. Amen. Ah.
You'll turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 25 to 33. We have today's text. I apologize for the quality of my voice today, and I've asked Rob to help me by adjusting things back there. I got to go in the ocean one time in South Carolina, and the next day my head was just full of junk, and it hasn't gone away yet. So I'm going to try to get through things today, but it's a challenge. So appreciate your prayers for my voice to last. Matthew's constructed his whole gospel sort of as a teaching tool for Jewish Christians who came to faith in Christ. And you'll notice as you read it through, it begins with the genealogy and then the birth narrative. Many scriptures are referred to being fulfilled by this event in the birth of Christ. And then he has a teaching section. The first one is the Beatitudes. But as you go through the book, you'll find that section of action and a section of teaching, a section of action, a section of teaching. But this is probably one of the most familiar passages of Scripture in the church, but we come to the Sermon on the Mount so many times. So I want to read verses 25 to 33 in chapter 6. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. Not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let us pray. Lord, on this one day that we have to share together, we seek your guidance from your word. We seek the instruction of your spirit, confirming in our heart the truth of what our Lord has said. So I pray that you will open our hearts to that truth and enable your word to be planted like a seed that will bear fruit and bring glory to your name, even as it blesses us who seek to follow you. Amen. You can find some interesting quotes about money online. Some sound noble, like this one. Earn money to live. Don't live to earn money. Others don't sound quite so noble. A successful man is one who makes more money than his wife can spend. And it goes on, a successful woman is one who finds such a man. That's from actress Lana Turner, who some of us with gray hair may remember. This one starts out noble, but then takes an interesting twist. Money is not the most important thing in the world. Love is. Fortunately, I love money. Of course, the Bible warns us about the love of money and the dangers of that. And our money itself even does that with this cautious reminder, in God we trust. In God we trust. Not in this God. Because we so often, when we get this money in our hand, we think, this is what blesses me. This is what helps me. This is what comforts me. This is what provides for me. This is what watches over me. And we can think, in this God I trust. Money is a false god. It is the false god that Jesus warned us about when he said, you cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God. Not it's hard to do it, but you can pull it off. Not it's a challenge, but you can maybe do it. You cannot serve God and money. And there were other gods Jesus could have picked. If you go to the book of Acts, they thought Paul was Zeus and Barnabas was Mercury. They thought there was the Artemis of the Ephesians that they worshipped in that city. There were other gods, false gods, Jesus could have said. But he picked one that transcends culture, that transcends language and location. You cannot serve God and money, mammon, wealth. Money is a false god. And so it's not surprising that back in 2008, this false god of money created the worst economic crisis to hit our country in decades. The almighty dollar lured investment firms into these risky loan bundling practices, and it led to massive failures and bankruptcies. And it seemed that, like lemmings running blindly over a cliff, thousands of homeowners were driven into default and foreclosure by the desire for bigger houses that money could buy, but money that they really could not afford. Back before that financial chaos broke loose, I remember getting an economic stimulus check in the mail from the government. And the president said, go and spend it, and let's get our stalled economy moving again. At that time, one writer took exception to that and pointed out that it was spending money that created the problem in the first place. Specifically, spending more money than we could afford to spend. But instead of telling us to pay off some of our debt or save this money, we were told to spend this check and rev up the consumer engines again. Consuming too much is the problem. Before the disease was called tuberculosis, people were said to die of consumption. In many ways, we still do. The U.S. has about 5% of the world's population, but statistics show that we consume about 25%, or a fourth, of the world's resources. We consume too much food, too much oil, too much alcohol, too many drugs. Overconsumption of material goods is consuming our future with debt and consuming the world's limited natural resources with dangerous abandon. Whether you believe in human causes of climate change or not, widespread overconsumption of natural resources, of food and drink, of land and water, threaten us all with droughts and floods and famines. And this is the only planet we get. And the only way to preserve the earth that God has given us is to change how we live on it and how we live from it. For we are called to be stewards of creation. Stewards who care for what God has made. But truth be told, we don't really want to change the way we live. We don't want limits or restrictions, whether it's on how long I can water my lawn in California, how much I can eat, or how many rounds of ammo I can buy for my assault rifle. Despite our enormous debt and the real dangers that debt has created, consuming is what we do. From the lion's share of the world's oil to the latest iPhone. And everybody wants to consume. There was a cartoon a few weeks ago in the Globe. A little girl was leaving a birthday party looking down into the gift bag she got for coming to the party. Now, I don't understand that thinking yet, but the girl leaving the party looks down at this gift bag she got and says, "What a lame bag. Doesn't even have an iPhone." I mean, little kids, so, you know, caught up into the having things and possessing things. Too many of us want to overconsume. And we're overconsumers who want as much of whatever we want whenever we want it. James said that kind of desire, that kind of craving for what you don't have can lead to wars and conflicts. And you don't have to look far to see how that has happened. But in contrast to this restless clamor for more and more spending and consuming, God offers us a better way. God calls the church to go against the consuming flow of society and to model a healthier, more sustainable way to live. And if we answer that call, God has promised to provide what we need. If your Bible is still open at Matthew, you can see it at chapter 6:33. Jesus taught that all these things will be given to you as well. What things was he talking about? The things of life. The things that people worry about having and strive after. The food, the clothing, the security, the stuff. But followers of Christ, Jesus said, have a Father in heaven who knows you need all these things. God's promise to provide for his children is plain here. All these things will be given to you as well. You don't have to worry or fret about them, and you sure don't have to be greedy or grasping with them either. God will provide, Jesus said, provided that we strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things you need will be given to you as well. But we tend to strive first for these things, for more and more of these things all the time. We strive for more clothing, toys, creature comforts, more of the latest gizmos and gadgets, another one of these, a bigger one of those. And we strive for more money so we can buy all these things. And doing all that makes us an anxious and fearful nation. We want money to make us secure, but money has made us fearful. The more we have, the more we have to spend to protect what we have in case we lose what we have. One Bible commentator put it this way: the accumulation of wealth is so absorbing an occupation that sooner or later, money enslaves its victims. God would spare us that prison by setting us free from this controlling, enslaving power of money. And here's how it works. When Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," he did not mean seek first to enter God's kingdom by attaining the righteousness that God requires to let you in. Because you see, the disciples of Jesus were already in the kingdom of God by virtue of their faith in Jesus, who is the King. The righteousness that God justly requires was already bestowed on them as a gift of grace as a response to their faith in Jesus. Jesus told them, God is already your heavenly Father. Over and over he has said this. So the disciples are already God's children. Already they're in God's kingdom. Already they possess the righteousness God requires. God has given it to them as his gift in response to their faith. And that same gift is true for us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ. We no longer have to attain a righteousness by our own actions, our own efforts, our own work, our own goodness, to finally be righteous enough to get into heaven. Christ is the only one who is that righteous, yet his perfect righteousness is counted to us who put our faith in him. So we are called the body of Christ. We share his righteousness. Jesus' words mean, seek first to further God's kingdom by sharing the good news of Christ the King. Jesus did this when Mark's gospel begins and Jesus starts his public ministry. He comes after baptism to say, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. That was the opening of Jesus' ministry. The kingdom has come. That's seeking the kingdom. It's seeking to announce it so that others can enter it by repenting and believing in Christ. And like Jesus did, we are called to call others to repent and enter God's kingdom by faith in God's Son, and to strive to display the righteousness God has given us by our own righteous actions, priorities, attitudes, by doing what is right, by saying what is right, by acting right. Because that, in the end, is what righteousness is. It's doing the right things. So seek to spread the gospel of God's kingdom and righteousness first, and as you do, God will provide for you. The same is true in Malachi. God promised to open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. You'll be a land of delight, God said. Now here is God's promise to provide, but again, provided that they bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. Isn't that amazing? God, the Almighty Lord of hosts, says, you can put me to the test. In a very practical, measurable, pragmatic way, here's how you can test God's promise, bring in the full tithe. God challenged his people to test him and prove him by means of that full tithe. Test me and see if I don't do right by you. Bring in the full tithe and put my righteousness to the test. God made a promise to provide for his people, provided that the people bring in the full tithe, 10% of their produce in that day. And then they would see God keep his promise. See if I don't open the windows of heaven and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. Church, the full tithe was never rescinded. It was never rescinded. 10% is still God's tithe, just as it says here. So that's why the scriptures ask, would man rob God? Because the tithe is God's. It is God's requirement of us to give back that tithe, that 10%. We can sometimes say, as many have, but the tithe was under the law. The law required 10%. We're under grace. We're not required to meet the law's requirements anymore. Well, that's true. But doesn't grace abound more than the law? Grace brings blessings. The law brings condemnation. Grace brings life. The law brings death because it points out what we cannot do. The law condemns us. It gives us the requirements that we cannot meet, but they have been met in Christ. And by that abundant, abounding grace, we are counted righteous and have salvation. The 10% of our income remains not an outdated legalistic expectation that no longer applies, but it remains the fundamental and foundational level of Christian giving. It is where God intends our giving to start, not end. And when we start to tithe, we will start to see God's promised blessings poured out on us. And this has been the testimony of countless, countless tithers in the history of the church. Tithing shows that we have chosen to serve God, not money. If your Bible is still open, you notice that the verse before where I started says you can't serve God and money. Therefore, trust God. Don't worry about things. You can't serve God and money. Therefore, don't worry about your life and the provision for it, because God will provide if you trust God, if you serve God. By tithing, we overcome the desire for more money in order to have or consume more of what money buys. Instead, by trusting God, we learn the priceless value of being content. Of saying, this is enough. What I have is enough. Paul said that in 1 Timothy 6. If we didn't bring anything into the world, we can't take anything out of the world. So if we have food and clothing, with this we are content. Because he goes on to say, if you desire to be rich, you're going to plunge yourself into peril that will undo you and could destroy your faith. But if we have food and clothing, the things God provides, we're content. God's promise means we can give 10% without worrying if we'll make it on 90%. Because God has said, if you put me to the test with this full tithe, you will see me provide for you. Nothing breaks the enslaving, fear-inducing, evil-generating power of money like giving it away. God's tithe is an antidote to human greed. It's a remedy for a life that's spent grasping after things and being controlled by the love of money. Bring in the full tithe and see God pour out an overflowing blessing for you. God promised it. And if a full tithe is not possible in one leap yet, then I challenge you to make it your goal and increase your giving by 1% a year until you reach that 10% mark. And then you may want to, by that time, continue because you will have seen God provide for you and respond to your faith with his own faithfulness, even blessing small steps of faith that you take. As in Malachi, so in Matthew, God made a promise to provide, provided that we seek first the growth of God's kingdom and seek first to display God's righteousness in our own lives by living as citizens of God's kingdom, not citizens of the world. When we do that, God will show his righteousness to us by providing everything we need for a life that is content, that is free from the love of money and from all the evil that the love of money can produce in our hearts. Malachi and Matthew, M&M, God invites us to test him and trust him. And we have nothing to lose but our bondage to money and all the fear and worry that bondage to money can create in us. Our motto should be, in God we trust. Not in this God, but in God we trust. Let's put that motto into practice. Let's bring in God's full tithe. Let's seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness first. And then let's see God keep his promise to provide for us. Let us pray. Lord, by your grace alone we are saved. We can trust you to save our life for all eternity. We can surely trust you to take care of our life on earth for this brief time we are here. Help us to have faith to accept your challenge. It's amazing to think that God would put himself in that position to let us test you. But grant us faith to accept the challenge and see if you don't provide for us when we respond with faith and obedience as you have taught us to bring in the full tithe and see you open the windows of heaven to bless us. Help us to see that, to believe that, and trust that, and discover that in our lives for your name's sake. Amen. I invite you, if you will, to share in the spoken response that's in the bulletin. Again, quoting from the Church Covenant. I invite you to read this with me. Trusting God's promise to provide for our needs, we joyfully recommit ourselves to live by our covenant, to contribute gladly and regularly to the support of the total mission of the Church. And we can do that because God will take care of you. Number 692 is our closing hymn. I invite you to stand as you're able and join us in this closing song.
Thank you. that, will you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. God will take care of you. We have a delightful time for fellowship and refreshments up in Fellowship Hall. And there might have been some things left over from yesterday's fair that are going to be given. But we also have a nice time to sit down and have some lunch together. So please, if you don't have other plans, come up and join the church family and gather around the tables and catch up with each other and enjoy some delightful soups and stews that are there for us to share today. And I'll try to include in my in the benediction, the grace of the meal. I often find people stalled trying to wait for me to get there to start a prayer for the food. So pray for the food here as well. And all of you can go away to enjoy it. Let's receive God's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. For yours is the God who will take care of you. Lord, we thank you that you take care of our bodily needs by providing food for us to share today, and fellowship to encourage our spirits as we struggle to face the challenges of life, to know we're not alone because we have the body of Christ here that loves and supports us. We share this time around the tables. May your blessing continue to fall upon us. You continue to open the windows of heaven, pour down your blessings till they overflow, and every need is met. In Christ's name.